A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down Rabbit Holes Podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And I want you guys to know that we don't even text each other who the case is anymore. We create the folder in Dropbox for our audio recording.
Generally, that's how that's been shaking out.
Yeah. So Amy opened up the folder and I was like, do you know the name? And she said, go ahead. What did you say?
I'm so embarrassed. I was like, Melissa, like, this sounds familiar. Why? I almost went into Dropbox to make sure we haven't done this case before or something. That's how familiar it sounds.
And so I was like, okay, well, I don't want to tell you anything else because we're just going to dive in and start because you're going to recognize some of it. And she said, that's suspicious.
I'm feeling suspicious of you.
Okay, so I've wanted to do this case almost since we started. And I sort of get caught on the theories part of it, but after the last few cases and loving, really truly enjoying Caitlin's text message strings when she's editing.
Yeah, she's pretty mad all the time.
This case is going to be something that I think we need to talk about. So I'm going to give you a choose your own adventure, okay?
Pardon me? What?
So I can give you the timeline in order in which it happens, or the timeline as things developed, because we're going to jump around a little bit.
This doesn't stress you out, flying by the seat of your pants like this?
Well, I have it written out both ways, don't worry.
Ooh, jeepers. I tend to always prefer a timeline, chronologically speaking.
Okay, so I'll give it to you, but you're going to have questions, but I want you to hold them.
But you want me to shut my mouth?
Yes.
All right, well, I have a cup of coffee right here.
Okay.
And every time I want to speak, I'm going to take a sip.
No, I'm not telling you can't speak. All right, we're just going to go. Today, we're going to talk about Relisha Rudd. Relisha was born October of 2005. That means if she's alive today, she'd only be 17.
Okay.
I'm going to open it up here. She'd not have an easy childhood.
Wait a minute.
I know.
I'm now doing the math. She was a baby.
Well, she was 8 in 2014 when she went missing.
Oh. Okay.
So let's go back. We don't know a whole lot except for she was living in a homeless shelter with her mom and three brothers, at least in the spring of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
In Washington, D.C. Now, I do want to point out that I believe mom was in and out of this shelter dating back to 2005, and we'll get to that, what that means later, but there's reason to believe mom knew people at the shelter back in 2005.
Okay.
Okay. So what it sounds like is Relisha's one constant was school. So she was pretty consistent going to school, right? We're going to go right to February 26th. Well, sorry, you're going to get it the other way. I don't want to give away the end. March of 2014, March 13th, okay? Relisha misses school. And this marks 30 days since the beginning of the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot. And she reaches 10 unexcused absences. And the school files a report with DC's Child and Family Services.
Right. If you aren't familiar with children in school and laws and reporting, you have a certain allotment of days before people get alarmed. And they're basically forced to get involved with Child Protective Services, law enforcement.
Exactly. At this point, school reaches out, files a report, says that they don't know what's going on. Well, they get a call. I'm sorry, that was on March 3rd. On March 10th, they get a call from a Dr. Tatum. This is the, not the school, it's the social worker.
Okay.
And he tells the social worker that he understands people are concerned about Relisha. She has a neurological disorder that she's been diagnosed with and is under her care.
Hmm.
So they said, okay, we'll just send us over the documents, like your essentially your doctor's note, right? And Dr. Tatum said, no problem, I'll send him over to the shelter where she lives with her mom and her siblings, and her mom will get him to you.
Okay.
They don't get them. But the social worker goes to the shelter.
Wow, that's an over above and beyond social worker for a school social worker.
Trying to figure out what happened. Like, what is going on? Why are we not getting doctor's notes or whatever? This is on March 19th, okay? The social worker determines that Dr. Tatum is actually a janitor at the shelter.
Oh. I wondered about if this was a legit person, but we didn't even try and sugarcoat the truth. This is an outright lie.
Right. At this point, the social worker basically is like, I don't know what is going on, but it's not going to be okay. Like,
I already have questions.
Okay.
I won't ask, but I'm just saying.
I mean, you can ask.
Why go through all the trouble to make a phone call anyway if this was going to be the result?
You mean from Dr. Tatum?
Just, like, don't call at all.
Well, keep in mind, this was March 19th. We'll go back in the timeline. But this was March 19th that she came and found out. Okay? So at this point, law enforcement's like, basically, they get law enforcement involved, okay? So, social work says, basically, that, hey, we don't know what's going on with this kid. Police actually bring in mom, stepdad. I don't know where stepdad came from, but there's a lot of, like, gray area in this case, which makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Her aunt, her grandmother, and I believe a cousin.
Are we sure they're family?
We bring them all in, and yes, we are. And they all basically say, I don't know, I thought she was with other family, sisters, whatever, until mom. Mom's like, well, hold on. My friend Khalil, who is, yes, the janitor there, she's known him since 2005. Mm-hmm. She has let him take Relisha to the mall, to movies, to stay in her care. He buys her presents. He bought her clothes that she wanted.
Oh, no.
I know. He bought her a tablet and took her to Disney on Ice.
Stop.
So mom's like, here's the deal. I've always trusted him. Like, he's been great to my kids and all of that. So on February 25th, mom asked him to watch Relisha for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And mom had not seen her since then.
Oh my gosh.
February 25th. Mom now hasn't seen her. Now, from February 25th to March 13th is when she reached her 10th unexcused absence. That's when Child and Family Services was called. And then March 19th is when they figured out that Dr. Tatum was not a doctor. Okay?
Right.
Okay. March 20th, D.C. police hold a joint press conference with Child and Family Services saying, hey, this little girl's missing. We need information. They issue an Amber Alert. They do all of that. Police are also looking for Khalil and his wife, Andrea, at the same time. Mm-hmm. They find Andrea the same day, murdered.
Huh.
With a gunshot wound to her head in a hotel. They have no idea what, like, basically what is going on, right? At this point, they thought they had a missing little girl, and now it's just getting absolute insanity. March 27th. So we are now 32 days after she was seen the last time.
Right.
Police announced that they're going to make this a recovery mission, no longer a missing person search.
Huh, that's a bold statement.
That has been walked back. April 1st. There's also, obviously, every alert in the world about Khalil, now that his wife's been found murdered. Khalil has been is found April 1st in mm-hmm. Kenilworth Park. He died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
We're not thinking this is all weird yet? Like, okay.
So police walk back Khalil's timeline to figure out, like, what was happening. And around the same time, he purchased a shovel, lime, and contractor-sized trash bags. So, and, like, I know I just kind of gave you, like, the bullet point, but that's essentially what happened. Police also get surveillance footage of the last time Relisha was seen alive. It's at a hotel with Khalil Tatum. And that is on March 1st.
Where's everything present day with these people?
Well, Khalil and his wife are deceased.
Well, yes.
Relisha is still missing. Mm-hmm. And that's that.
But, like, what's mom doing?
All the articles say is no one has ever been charged in Relisha's disappearance, and there's no persons of interest.
No persons of interest at all.
Do you want theories? Amy has her jaw on the table.
I'm blank.
So, there's also a Wikipedia on this, which it's been a long time since I had a case on Wikipedia. I was like, wow, yes. I forgot this. So, there's essentially three theories.
Oh, three. That's better than what I was able to come up with.
One is that she was kidnapped by someone that wasn't Khalil.
What are the odds of having another horrible person in her life? But okay.
Well, and they say that, like, you can explain all of Khalil's guilty behavior in the death of his wife. Like, he could have been buying the trash bags to bury his wife. He could have... I wish you guys could see Amy's reaction. She just made the silliest face and hand motion when I said that he could have been...
Because that's not normal.
Well, right. Okay. Then there's Tatum took her because he was obsessed with her and killed her. Or he took her and sold her.
Why do police say it's a recovery mission then?
I think that they thought once both Khalil and his wife were found deceased, that it was, he didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice but to say she's likely dead.
Okay. Well, what do you think, and what made you, you said something about you didn't know what to do with the theories, which is why it took you so long to actually do this case. Well,
first of all, it took me so long because I'm like, I don't understand how it happens. Like, I don't understand how this happens. Everyone in the world let this little girl down. You know what I mean? That's why I struggle mm-hmm. with this. Like, unfortunately, and I'm not faulting a homeless person because life happens, right? But unfortunately, that situation put Relisha higher at risk. And then her clearly only having, you know, a small number of adults in her life that she trusted. She was looking for that.
Right.
So she probably got that. You know what I mean? School didn't report her that missing until 10 days. Then social work went above and beyond, as you said. You know, it just, this poor little girl never stood a chance. She went missing right. on February 26th. School didn't even get involved until March 13th.
But no family even did anything until they were basically confronted.
March 19th.
Right.
Right.
How do you explain that one?
I don't know. And there's a lot of speculation about her family. They went on the... Do you remember Steve from the Jerry Springer show?
Yes! Wilco.
Yeah, he has his own show now. Mm-hmm. They went on his show. And mom refused the polygraph, but her stepdad and her mom took them and both passed.
Hmm. But what I want to know, like, what are you wondering when you don't see your daughter for many, many, many days?
I know, and I get stuck on that too. It's really hard to not blame mom.
You know, so I wonder about mom because I feel like if she entrusted her daughter in the care of someone and they just didn't return her, she would confront the person, there would be witnesses, she would contact someone in the shelter. Even if she was scared of law enforcement, there must have been someone she would turn to, right? Or confront the guy and whatever. But instead, if there was something that she did, she was hoping that no one would just notice, I guess.
Do you think mom allowed Tatum to do whatever?
Oh, well, that's a combination of them both. Did she say, take her, well, I don't care you do?
I mean, mom told the police that she let him take her in February.
But not permanently, right?
No, but we know that March 1st, she was still alive because we see her in hotel footage.
So a couple days after she's taken.
February 26th.
With permission. So 3 or 4 days later, she's seen on footage.
Mm-hmm.
Did she continue residing at the shelter after her daughter disappeared?
Yes.
Hmm. Do we... I struggle saying this. I'm not going to lie. Do we think that stepdad could be, for example, a pimp who forced Relisha's mother to give her to what's-his-face?
Well, why wouldn't stepdad just take him then? Like, I would think that, see, what I don't know is she's seen with Khalil on, like I said, up till March 1st in a hotel. And she was seen the day she was taken in a hotel also. A different hotel.
Can we not, like, overlook the fact that some old dude is taking a child on his own to a hotel?
Amy, I agree. So, but is he... okay, so now we have 3 questions to answer. Did mom let him? / no. Was he taking her there for himself? Or for someone else? I know, it's disgusting. But it's...
something immoral and illegal is happening here. And I don't know... the question isn't if, it's how many people are involved.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of where I land.
So you don't think she got kidnapped by a random person?
I don't know how... no. I was going to swear a lot. No.
That's part of the reason I didn't know how to cover the case, but I think it's so important because...
listen, so... I'm being completely transparent with you because I want you to get in the head of a mother, just trying to play devil's advocate. Get in the head of a mother.
Yeah.
Who is doing her best and has a trusting heart. So there's this book and movie, Where the Heart Is. And this book came out maybe in the 1990s, early 2000s, made into a movie. Ashley Judd's in it. Pretty good all-star cast. And the premise of the book is a, you know, young girl gets pregnant and she's kind of left on her own and she builds her new life and her self-confidence and all of this. And she meets Ashley Judd's character, which is a nurse with 4 children struggling. She comes from abused relationships and she really just at the end of the day wants a father for her children and her one shot at true love. But she's been treated like absolute garbage. So when she meets this guy who's like ultra interested in her children, like over the top interested, she thinks like someone wants me and my children. Well, inevitably, it turns out he's a very harmful man who is basically, he does what we are all thinking he does. And she's just destroyed by this whole thing. And my point of bringing that up is it's a really good depiction of what someone who's been through a lot of trauma and disjointed and dysfunctional relationships have, there's like, you don't get out of a relationship and bam, you're repaired, right? Like, your template for how relationships go is skewed. And I'm only bringing to light that maybe mom was really trusting because someone showed what she thought was a genuine interest, like a fatherly interest in her child. And perhaps she was duped in a way into handing her child over. And I get it. And I'm sorry, that was really long-winded.
No. I get that. So she's giving her up for what, though?
I mean, maybe she just thinks, wow, there's someone that's going to provide her attention and stuff, which I can't give her. I guess it really doesn't answer why she wasn't outraged.
I was just going to say that. When it all came crashing, why didn't she say anything?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point that I overlooked.
You know, it's one of those. And then, like, I have to think that Khalil took Relisha for himself. Mm-hmm. Because of the murdering of his wife.
You think so?
Well, if he was taking her to sex traffic her, or to traffic her in general, wouldn't he just pass her off and be done with her, as terrible as that sounds? Versus if he was keeping her for himself, he has to manage his marriage.
I think that's irrelevant.
Okay. How so?
Well, we don't know how their marriage was. Maybe what he said goes. Maybe he spends very little time at home. Maybe he's in a marriage where, I don't know, he is a serial cheater and wife just accepts it. And when he stays out late or when he has other things to do, she just shuts her mouth about it.
Then why kill her? I mean, we assume he killed her. It's the same gun he died by suicide with, so.
I think we can dream up a ton of possibilities. What if she screamed? Or what if she threatened him being found out? What if she ran?
Okay, so what happened to Relisha then?
Well, judging by the things that he had, he could have put her anywhere.
So you think she's dead? She did not go to trafficking. She's deceased.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So was it always his plan to kidnap her and then kill her?
Not outwardly. It makes me think of another thing I'm referencing. I just watched this documentary on Morgan Nick and the continued search for her. And when they were talking about Jacob Wetterling, another missing child, who there's not actual links, but the parents became close and the cases were in some ways similar. But anyway, that's not the point. Jacob Wetterling's murderer basically was out and about, saw some kids. Like, yeah, he was kind of searching. He didn't outwardly, like, go on the hunt to kill someone, but he went on the hunt to feed a sick need or want. And then he told Jacob to turn around, and he shot him. And I don't think that he had a full-out plan to do that. So I think when you do the crime and you get to the point where you're like, oh, shoot, like, this person recognizes me and I can be caught, it's like almost I have no choice but to do this.
So you think he took her voluntarily? Mom said that she did leave him in his care.
Yeah.
And kept her for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then was like, I don't know what else to do. I'll just kill her.
That's a possibility for me.
And then what? His wife found out somehow?
She could have known the whole time. I'm not saying she maybe knew everything, but she could have known something odd was going on. Like, why does my husband have this child around? She could have confronted him about it, and he had to get rid of everything.
I mean, I think that's likely so. Like I said, I know we didn't have a lot of theories, but I think it's important that we talk about things like this. She got let down by every system there is.
It's a hard thing when you don't have a consistent place to be, because you can't be a part of any community or system.
Right. Except for school. And school let it go for... there's a... WUSA 9 did a investigation into it. And they called it 18 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because 18 days is from when she was given to Khalil Tatum to when school reported her.
Mm. I shudder to think how many children are lost out there with no one reporting them. I've come across cases in the Charlie Project that I've wanted to cover that, or wherever, it doesn't matter where I've come across them, that people are missing years before they're reported missing. Because parents or loved ones think maybe they just lost contact or whatever. I mean, talk about the first 48. I mean, what are you working with at 2-3+ years?
It's like the little girl in New Hampshire, Harmony Montgomery. She was reported missing by her mom.
Mm-hmm.
November of 21. Do you know when the last time she was seen is?
Oh, no. 2018.
October of 19.
Wow. We don't even know how much COVID has stunted so many systems and subsystems. And that's another thing about watching the Morgan Nick documentary is that, you know, this mother is looking for her child still after so many years. And then things come to a standstill and time is lost when people are starting to die off, you know, in an investigation, and time is everything, right?
Right. I mean, statistically, the longer a case goes, the harder it is to solve it.
Yeah. And not that someone like J.C. Dugard, that any of that is okay or a consolation or whatever. It must have been true hell. But, you know, that's what gives people hope that at least their child is there somewhere and will come home after, yeah.
And that's why I keep wanting to do this case, because if it was trafficking... She's only 17 now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, she could still... If she was trafficked, the horror she has endured, I'm sure, is hell. But she could be alive.
And those are the circumstances where I would not be at all bothered. I'd be glad to be wrong.
Oh, for sure.
All right, you want to open it up?
Yeah, and I'll share her age progression. Get her name out there, guys. That's what you guys do, so... And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.